Okay? Okay, we should be going now. Yep. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he says, Even all the angels of God worship him. Let up all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he said, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he says, Thy throne, God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as does a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstools? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? This is a wonderful passage of Scripture. God is setting a foundation out through the Apostle Paul. And again, as I said earlier, this is a book of change. Everything's changing. The law is changing to the new covenant. The priesthood is changing from humanity to the Spirit of God, the Christ. The tabernacle's changed from the old tabernacle to the new tabernacle. So we really got to put our ears on and hear what the Spirit is saying to us in this book of Hebrews. Now back to the first verse, it says, God at sundry times, or literally at different times, and in different ways, spoke in times past to who? The fathers of Israel. Who would the fathers of Israel be? Leaders?
Yeah.
See, the leaders of that, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, not just them, but the other men in different times. Not by, but through the prophets. Now look, these were the leaders, but yet he had prophets that come and spoke to them. See? So everybody thinks that just the leadership is going to have it. No. I can show you where in Samuel, that Samuel was the high priest. And God sent another prophet to prophesy to him what he already knew was going to come because he was a wicked priest. Okay? And God will send others into your life to prophesy into your life. And just to come into your life and say, Thus saith the Lord, that's not what we're talking about. Jesus was the prophet. He was the priest and the king. In the Old Testament, then, this is what Hebrews shows you again, there was an Old Testament prophet. And they come around and said, Thus saith the Lord, and brought judgment and things like that. Fear upon people. But in the New Testament, Jesus is a prophet. Now tell me how he did. Did he go around threatening anybody? He just spoke one thing. What he heard his Father say. All he did was spoke the Word of God. So a prophet under the New Covenant is not someone who comes foretelling and trying to tell the future, just going to tell you the truth. Do you understand that? It's just going to be someone tell you the truth. And they don't have to say, Thus saith the Lord, and anything. All they got to do is speak truth. Okay? And so, if that Christ is in each one of you, which one of you can be a prophet? Every one of you. See, you have the ability to speak out of you the Spirit of God, the Word of God, because it's in you. Can you hear me? It's in you. It's not something you have to work up to and I can finally get to a place where I can do it. I heard God speak out of all kinds of people today. Okay? I heard him through all kinds of voices. And that's what he's trying to tell us. But he said in times past, that's what he did. Just through those, quote, prophets. But look here. But in these final days, these last days, he's spoken to us not by, but through his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all. The word things shouldn't be there. Just he's appointed the heir of all. Who would that leave out?
No.
Okay, or nothing or anything. Through whom he also made the worlds, or the literally the word is aeon, or the ages. He made all the ages. Who did he make it through? Who is his Son?
I am.
I am. So you are. See? The Son. It's not one person. It's a corporate Son. We're going back and we'll get in here in a second. We'll get back to the very beginning, he said. See? It's about from the very beginning, the Son that was created. Just like Lois said a while ago about the song. Job said, weren't you right there with Job 37:5 or 38:5 said, weren't you right there with me when the morning stars sung together? See? That's what we're trying to see. If we can't see that we were sons of God from the very beginning, if we can't look through this thing we call time and look back into the reality of truth and see that, yes, we were with Him in the beginning. Does the book say we were with God in the beginning? Well, then we got to see that. Not intellectually. We got to see, yes, I stood with Him. And that don't make me no better than anybody else, but just I got to know I was there. And if I was there, guess what I got? Moses just had God pass by and look at his backside, and he glowed so much he had to put a veil on. I ain't seen nobody putting a veil on in here. Have you? I am. See, so maybe we need to see a little clearer, do you think? We need to have a better revelation of God. We need to have a better vision of the Son of God and who He is. If we don't see who He is, we can't be who He is. Are we not supposed to be just like Him? Well, then if I can't see what He looks like, how can I possibly be like Him? Does that make sense? I've got to have a revelation of who Christ is, and I can't see Him out there. I've got to have the revelation in here. See, Bob's got to see the revelation of Christ in him. Bob can't come in and say, I'm a sinner.
But I am.
No, you're not.
Well, I feel
it. Yeah, but that's because somebody lied to you, and I'll prove that to you at a later point. I'll talk to you on that and show you some things, and then you'll understand maybe. Okay? We'll talk about it. But you're not a sinner. God said you're righteous and holy. Didn't say you didn't do anything wrong. I said you wasn't a sinner. That's not just splitting the hair. I'll share it with you later. Okay. But in these last days, He spoke to us through the Son, through His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all, through whom He has made the world or the ages. Who being the what? The brightness. This word brightness literally means the reflected brightness or the outraying. Okay? So it says He is the exact image or the outraying of God. The brightness of God that's in Him is coming out of Him. And we are that very brightness, that very outraying of God. We're coming from God. So that brightness is coming out of God is us. Where did we come from? We came from Him. Come on. He said the express image or the exact copy or exact representation of His what? What? What's it say?
Glory.
Well, the language here in King James says person, but it's really not because it should be the word essence. We are the express image, the exact copy or exact representation of His spit it out. Essence. Wouldn't that be the same as His nature, His person? See, His character? See? So, we are the exact thing. So, in other words, let's put it on the way that people talk today about DNA. That the Father and the Son would have the same DNA as the Father. Well, it's the same thing. We have everything that He has. See, because your spiritual rebirth had nothing to do with going to a church and going to an altar and crying. It had nothing to do with a emotion in you of welling up and crying or feeling sorry or something like that. How was the Son created in the first century? Jesus, how was He birthed? How was He birthed?
Father's choice.
The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, right? Miriam, literally. But He came upon her and she conceived. It's the same thing in you. That the Father sends the Spirit of God upon you and you conceive that holy thing in you. You got to be able to see this is you. It's not about somebody else. Jesus was the pattern. He was the first of many brethren, wasn't He? So we got to realize this is Him showing you the way that you're going to come through. You're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. And he says, now, guess what you are? A son destined to reign. When he says it, you're there. And once you're a son, can you ever become not a son?
No.
Okay. Okay. You can't lose that. So this essence that he has and upholding all things are all by the word of his power. So who's controlling all? Who's in control of everything? If he's upholding the power, his power, the word of his power is upholding all, then who's in control? Am I? Nope. And you're not either. God's in control of all. When he had through himself, now look at this. There's things today that they've been out for years that say most of the ministry today don't believe that Jesus was the sacrifice. There's ministry running around, even kingdom ministry, saying Jesus is not a sacrifice. Well, I beg to differ with that. If he wasn't the sacrifice, what are we doing here? I mean, there's people with big names going around saying that. And that most of the people coming out of seminaries today, 70-80% of them, are saying they believe there's another way to come to God other than through the sacrifice of the cross and through his blood. And there was about 70-80% don't believe in the virgin birth. Okay? Well, you know what? I had a virgin birth. Did you? If you're born again, I know you did. See? Because it was a virgin birth. Because my inside had never been defiled. See? The seed of God in me had never been defiled. An uncorruptible word of God. Nobody can defile that thing inside of you. That holy thing, that seed that God placed in there. But notice who did it. When he had through who?
Himself.
Not by, but through. It's the word dia. Through himself purged our sins or washed away our sins. That's what the language says. He washed away our sins. Who washed it away? Is it God? See, the church day says if you do this, 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 and this, then God will accept you. It says by himself, through himself, he washed away my sins. What's it got to do with what I do? Nothing. He took care of my sins. Do you believe it? Well, then how can I be a sinner if he took care of my sin? He washed my sin. How can I be a sinner? I'm sorry. I'm a son of God. And I don't care what anybody thinks about that. I still believe I'm a son of God. They can tell me whatever they want. What do you believe? I'm a son of God. See, I got to believe what he said. He did it by himself. But I know this. When he died for me. See, I know that. So now I can boldly stand and proclaim, hey, I don't care what they say. Because they talked about my Lord. They told him he was full of devils. They told him he was crazy. Do you think I'm concerned about someone slandering me a little bit? There was a woman this week told me, she called me and said a friend of hers has a church, and this woman came in and told her they were just terrible because they wasn't a big church. And in a year's time, they should have been huge, like somebody down in Texas. And this minister was just crushed. She didn't know what to think. Because someone come in the congregation and she thinks just the room was holy. You know, it's not us, but it's the room. She thinks the building was holy. But she was crushed that somebody could come into the sanctuary, what they call their sanctuary, and speak something negative about her. What? I mean, if she can't handle that, how's she going to minister to the world? If you can't handle someone saying something negative to you. I've had them come in here and cuss me and do everything in the world in here. You know, threaten to punch me out right in here. What's that got to do with it? All I know is that person's deceived, and they're looking for love, and they don't know how to find it, and they're frustrated. Anybody ever been that way? Anybody ever been frustrated and looking for God and just not getting what you want? He's giving you what you need, but you know, you just don't get it, so you get frustrated. That's all. So if we can't handle that, we're not going to make it. But I know he did it. And he has sat down, and that means he's resting. He's done. Guess who it's up to now? It's up to the rest of the sons to do it now. Because he said, you're going to do greater works than I did. He sat down in the right hand or in the full power and authority of the majesty in the high place. Wonder where that is. It's the Holy of Holies right between your ears. Being made so much better than the angels or the messengers, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name or nature and character than they. See, Jesus had a more precious name or a better nature and character than even the angels had. Much better. So you know what? I'm thrilled because that same nature is in me. And just like I said in that song a while ago, I have to see it in you and you and you, every one of you. And if I can't see it in you, I'll never see it in myself either. Okay? I won't be able to see it in you. I got to see how valuable you are. Huh? That's exactly right. When I look in you, I got to see a reflection of me. If you look closely to someone's eyes, when you look in them, you'll see a reflection. My eyes are not so good, so I can't see real defined now. So if I have glasses on, I can look in your eyes, and you know what I'll see? A picture of me. Literally, you'll see your eyes as a perfect mirror. It'll reflect it right back if you can see. But I can't see up close. I can put glasses on. Okay? But he has this name. It's in you. Because under which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? Did anywhere in Scripture he say that? Okay, he didn't, and we know it. He said, this day I have procreated you, begotten you, give birth to you. Even again, see, or once more, okay? Even once more, I will be a father to him, or I exist a father to him, a father, and he shall be to me a son. See? When did he ever say that to anybody other than his son? See? It's not one person. It's a many-membered son. And further or moreover, when he brought in the first begotten to the earth, right? Now, he said the first begotten into the world. When he bring the first begotten, right? What do you think the first begotten is?
Prototype.
Huh?
Prototype.
It's a prototype. If you look in Acts chapter 3, verse 25 real quick. Acts chapter 3, verse 25. Let me read it to you. This is Peter's speech here after the day of Pentecost coming up. He says, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God has raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That ought to make you shout. Because you're part of the seed through what he made to Abraham, and he said he's going to turn every one of your iniquities away from you. So if you did anything wrong, guess what? He's already turned it away from you. You're not accountable for it any longer. He said he paid the price for the sin. How could he come back and ask for it again? He's not going to. There's several things about the bringing the firstborn in Romans 4:13, Romans 9:8, and Galatians 3:16 through 20. You look at those passages, you'll see where he's talking about bringing this firstborn into the world. And it's through Christ, through Jesus. And now it's coming through us. And even, and he said, when he brought him into the world, he said, or into the earth, he said, even let even all the angels of God worship him. See? Angels are not to be worshipped, are they?
Nope.
What are the angels to do?
Minister.
They're supposed to minister and worship to the Christ, to God. And they're here to minister to us. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers what? A flaming fire. See, a minister, that don't mean you have to scream and shout and try to burn the paint off the walls. It just means that you are of the same thing he is. If God is a flaming fire, a consuming fire, is he? Well, then if I'm a part of that fire, guess what my DNA says? Fire. Come on. I got to be the same thing he is. Now, it's not a consuming fire all the time because he can be a refiner's fire. See? But I got to have fire. And Jesus said, when I come to earth, if I come to set a fire, what is it if it's already set? Well, fan it. Just fan it a little bit. It'll go. It'll go. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. But he literally says this, But to the Son, he said, thy throne. What does the throne speak of?
The place of authority.
Rulership. The place of authority. So when he says to his Son, he says, thy throne, or your place of rulership, is where? It's God. It's just God. Your place of rulership is where? When I am in Him, guess what you have? When you're in God, guess what you have?
King rulership.
Rulership. Kingship. You have a place of authority in Him. So when you are seated in God, then you will make the same thought processes, the mind of Christ, the mind of the Father. You'll make those same decisions, won't you? That's what He's trying to tell us. And He says, forever and ever, literally into the age of ages. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Hello. You got to love righteousness, hate iniquity. You know righteousness hurts sometimes?
Yeah.
It hurts the flesh and it hurts the things we want to do.
There's fire in it.
There's fire in it. It'll burn it. But you got to love righteousness and hate iniquity. Therefore, through this, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. Said, through what?
Righteousness.
See, He loved righteousness and hated God. I mean, He loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your fellows. See, He went through something. He had some fire, didn't He? Through the things He suffered, learned He what? Obedience. How are you going to learn obedience?
Suffering.
Suffering. Now, I don't mean for stupidity. When I talk about taking a motorcycle and running into a tree, y'all would bomb. We're talking about doing what God says, that's obedience, and then suffering for what God said to do. But you know, we don't know what God said unless we have a witness of it, do we? And see, that's why there's so much problem in the church that people run around saying, God said, God said, God said. But I can't find the things that they say in this book or a reference to them. See, I got to know God's Word is my foundation. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
See, the Word of God is a foundation, a sure foundation. See? Jesus, it says in Corinthians, Paul said that Christ was that foundation that's already been laid, which is the Word of God. Okay? So we got to know all this so we can know that when God speaks to us, I don't have to go look in a book and say, well, let me see if God said that before. If I trust my spirit and I study this Word and put this Word in my heart, let it be written in my heart, when someone says something contrary to that nature that he said we already have, right? What will I do? My spirit will say, whoop, wait, wait, whoa. You just feel it in your spirit. You know that that's not the nature of God. So you can reject it. So you don't have to be able to say, well, that's in chapter such and such, verse such and such. That ain't got nothing to do with it. It's the nature of God in you and you being able to say, like you said this morning, Bob, you wanted to go ride a motorcycle, but something in you told you to do something else. See? And you did something else, which probably was the right thing to do. But see, you trusted that thing in you to guide you, and you didn't trust just anything. You see, he said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That infallible guidance system, whatever you want to call it. But it's the Spirit of God in you that He has placed within you, that nature and character that is not contrary to what His book says. Because His book can't contradict what He says, because this is Him. Okay? And he said, because of that, he has anointed you with the oil of what? So then our faces shouldn't look like a prune, should it? What should our face look like?
Yeah.
Like Bob's order. Let me calm down so I can talk to you. Yeah. Sometimes I just want to scream. I get so excited. But I don't, because some people, I used to do that at times. I've done it at times when I was in a Methodist church. I used to do that and it'd scare them all to death. Yeah, I just let out a big, you know, I couldn't contain myself. I didn't know anything. I just had to release the stuff that was inside of me. And it would kind of shake them up a little bit. And they'd say, Brother Fields is getting a little spiritual today. It had nothing to do with spiritual. I was just expressing some way to release something out of me, you know. So it's okay. I understand they didn't understand me. You know what? I don't think anybody understood any of the prophets or any of the men of God or women of God in the Bible. Do you? You think anybody really understood them?
They didn't know what they were going through.
They didn't feel what you feel inside. And I'm not making myself any better than anybody else. I'm just saying the things God's got me to go through, sometimes I can't express it to you. I can't put it in words. All I know is just There's a joy in my heart and a love in my heart that did not come from my natural thinking. There's nothing natural about what's in my heart. It's supernatural. Because it's not natural to love people that don't love you, is it? It's not natural to love people that hurt you, is it? It's not natural for a man to forgive people that do wrong to you, is it? It's supernatural. It's not natural for a man to take his thinking process, who was hard-headed and bull-headed and stiff-necked, and take that and lay it aside and do whatever someone else says. That's not natural. That's supernatural. See, so they can say anything they want to about me, but I know where it came from. Yeah, I got a teaching from somebody. And it wasn't a man. It was from God. It was from the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's your teacher by this book, it says. Okay? Okay, I'm getting excited now. Verse 10. After we've been anointed with this gladness above our fellows, we should be able to, somebody should be able to see some joy on us, shouldn't they? Some gladness. We shouldn't walk around looking like a bunch of old prunes come out of a bunch of vinegar or something. Come on, we should be happy. And people should say, why are you so happy all the time? Well, I can't help it. Yeah, I can't. Then he says, and you, Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth. What do you think the foundation of the earth is? It's the Word of God. It's not some big rock that this earth is sitting on. The foundation of this earth is the Word of God that He put in your heart from the very beginning. There's the foundation of the earth, because we're the earth. This is not a literal thing, it's a parable. And the heavens are the works of your hands. You think he's talking about the stars? They're great, they're wonderful. But you know what? I see you stars much more beautiful than the ones up there. There's more beauty in the people that he created, the heavenlies, the mind of Christ. There's where the beauty is. Okay? The natural beauty, that's great. But it can't compare to the beauty, the silver, the gold, and the diamonds that's in you. Come on, you got to see this. They shall perish. See all those natural things? Gold, silver, diamonds, stars in the sky? They're going to perish. Because you know why they're going to perish? Because he said so. Because God said so. But you remain, or you stay constant. See, he never changes. Same yesterday, today, forever. Right? And Malachi 3:6 says, I'm the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Be thankful that God don't change. Okay? He said, they all wax old as does a garment, and as a mantle or a covering you shall coil or fold them up, and they shall be what? Literally the word is transformed. Now who did the folding?
God.
God did the folding, and they were what? Transformed. Metamorphosis. See? That change is not an instant thing, but they begin to be changed. But you are the same. But you yourself, you exist yourself. But you exist in yourself, literally what it should say in the literal language. You exist in yourself. See, if you exist in yourself as God does, he needs nothing from external to make him go, does he? Now, look at yourself. You should be from that seed within you, that Christ within you, you should be self-sufficient in that. That doesn't mean you go lock up by yourself. It just means everything that I need is supplied from within, from the Christ, okay? Not that I'm isolated from anybody, but everything I need comes from in here, the Christ. But you know what? If I would come up to where I feel like I have a lack of something, I could say, I need something out of this one. Okay? I want that one. That's a piece I need in me. And you can do the same thing. You can come along and say, well, that's the same thing here, but I don't just exactly see what I need. Oh, there's something. I can get it out of there. I can get it out of there. I can get it out of there. See? Out of each other. Because the same seed, same DNA. And just if I can't see it myself, but I can see, okay, I can draw from you. I can see a part of you that is Christ's nature that I can draw upon. I can partake of that. Okay? That's why he's self-existent. You know, he doesn't need anything else to make him go. And we shouldn't either. And thy years shall not fail, or literally stop. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make, or literally I place, your enemies or your adversary under your foot? What's he really saying? Let me show you something. He said, until I place your enemies, right, your adversaries, thy footstool or for thy foot. Or it should say, thy footstool for your feet. So who places your enemies under your feet?
God.
Okay? Who's the battle? Whose battle is it? It's God's battle. See, I don't have to go out and do spiritual warfare. You see people going, and they say they're spiritually fighting people or demons or whatever. I don't got to do that. God is taking care of my enemies. And he says he's going to make my enemies, and that word enemy is adversary. And this book says your adversary is this mind right here. So he's going to take my way of thinking and make it a footstool or a place for my feet to rest. That means my lifestyle is no longer in labor, but it is in what? Hello. How about a little peace? And now why is it in peace? Not because of anything I did, but because of what Father did, sending it here through the person of his Son. He took care of it. So now why do I have to labor? I don't have to struggle in that battle any longer. And then he clarifies it a little farther and says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister what? Through them, not for them, but through them. And the words here says, who shall be? Literally the language says, them who be about to be. Who be about to be. Okay, let me read it that way. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister through them or those who be about to be heirs of salvation, or literally soteria, deliverance? We're about to be heirs of what? So if I am about to be, he said, this is these spirits who are sent here to minister to me because I'm about to be, or you're about to be, what?
Delivered,
an heir. I'm gonna receive it. An inheritance, an heir means you inherit something. So if something is given to me, what do I do to get it?
He's gonna make it.
The only thing that's qualified to get the inheritance is to be in the same bloodline. Just the same bloodline. See, if he's my father, that's my blood in it. So if he's got an inheritance for me, the only reason I get it is because of the inheritance rule, blood. And a lot of you people, if you read wills anymore, I know I had it in some of my family past that there was certain things that they said was no adopted children. Only blood relatives are in that line of inheritance. And they cut out a lot of people because of that. And they do that a lot today. So guess what? We've got to realize that all these angels, these ministering servants, they're all spirits set forth to minister through them who shall be or about to be heirs of deliverance. That'll make you happy. You're about to be what? But you know what? We are now.
He's making it known.
It's starting. See, it's a time of starting. And nothing happens like that. In your walk with God, show me one person in this book and just snapped their fingers and walked into the fullness of it. Okay? Now, even Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Okay? It's a process. Don't beat yourselves up. Wait on God. It's his timing. It's not yours. It's all about what he's done. It's not about what you do. You will react to things that God does. Sometimes you'll react negatively and sometimes positively. But if that's the way you partake of it, you're eating from the wrong tree. Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Partake of the tree of life. If I do something wrong, immediately go back and say, what am I got to learn out of this thing? It was a mistake that God let me have. And God give me this mistake for me to learn. Take it positively from the tree of God, the tree of life. Don't condemn yourselves, because that'll get you nothing.